Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, it's very interesting that I have these two ladies on today from Winthrop University, because we all just attended the 140th convocation of Winthrop University, all the incoming class, and for the first time in 7 years, it was held at Burns Auditorium. Burns Auditorium has been shut down for all kinds of reasons. Won't bore you with that now, but it reopened today, and it was beautiful. Matthew, who is right back here, played a great, great bunch of songs on the big old organ there, did a great job, got a lot of applause. It was just wonderful to see all of those people there. Am I overstating that, ladies?
No, you are not.
Ah, okay. So I have with us the one and the only Dr. Beth Costner, from Winthrop University, and her able-bodied associate, whatever you want to call her. We'll get the titles here in a minute, Dr. Lindsay Yerda. So let's do some introductions. Go, Beth.
Hello, I'm Beth Costner. I'm the Dean of the College of Education, Sport, and Human Sciences, and I'm the Chair of the Board for SARA.
Hi, everybody. I am Lindsay Yerda. I am the Executive Director for SARA, and SARA is an acronym. You know, we love those in education, and it stands for the Center for Educator Recruitment, Retention, and Advancement. And interestingly, it is our 40th year of inception. So
no,
Winthrop turned 140, and SARA turned 40 this year.
Oh, my gosh. Well, has SARA been a well-kept secret? Because I don't think I ever heard of it until a year or two ago?
Listen, Manning, I want to run screaming down Oakland Avenue and then maybe all the way to the coast. SARA is amazing. It is unique to South Carolina. We were established in 1985 by the General Assembly, and we work across the state with a ton of key stakeholders. It's not just us. We have a ton of partners, and we get to work in the best space in the whole world, which is recruiting and retaining educators.
So how did this get started?
Sure. So it grew out of a center of excellence that was funded by the state, and they saw the value in that center of excellence. And so now there are appropriations that go directly to the various programs that are in SARA, and over time those programs have grown and expanded. But it has statewide reach, and honestly has national reach, because some of the curricula are used in other states for teacher recruitment.
Well, I would think in today's world, with a hue and cry for educators, that there's more focus on SARA now probably than ever before. Is that an overstatement?
We've had a pretty large statewide shortage of educators, and it's a national issue, really. Hardest hit areas tend to be those that are rural or high poverty. SARA actually manages the Rural Recruitment Initiative, which is a little over $7 million, $7.5 million really, that we help districts. We dole out the money. We work with several different entities like the EOC, and just to help districts that are hardest hit try and get some more educators into their classrooms.
It's a whole nother story when you talk about school districts like we have here in York County.
Sure.
Versus what they call the corridor of shame, which is where they basically don't have any, what would you call it, business development.
That tax base, right?
No tax base. That's exactly right. No tax bases, no money to do anything.
Right. State sees that too, and that's really important. And the state is funding and providing situations where those districts can thrive.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about that, because that intrigues me. The state's putting money out there to attract teachers, but how do you attract them when they take a look at where they have to work and where they have to live?
We start really early. So we have an educator pipeline that starts in middle school, and we are working even to establish some sort of summer camp maybe for elementary school. That's not here yet, but we are excited about the possibility. Our middle school program is called Pro Team, and it is a class where we try and get students to realize just the different pieces and parts of education and how they can become involved civically. We have a really large presence in high school, and that program is called Teacher Cadet. So these are programs in our pre-collegiate arm, and the Teacher Cadet class actually offers dual enrollment. So if I take a Teacher Cadet class as a junior or senior in high school, I have credit then when I start at an institution of higher education. Our collegiate program, so we've got pre-collegiate, number one. Number two is collegiate, and that's teaching fellows. So now we've gotten students into colleges, and this fellowship gives money. They get $6,000 a year. If they teach for 4 years, that money is forgiven. That loan is forgiven. They have tons of wraparound support as a teaching fellow. They have access to professional development, and they get involved in their communities. So that's sort of how we tie them to those areas. And then we have service programs once they are teachers. So that's right. Our third arm. And that helps a lot with that support, that no matter where you are in the state, you've got those resources.
I want to say this generation right now is very focused on how to give back. And so there are students who come to Winthrop, want to be a teacher, and they do actually want to go to those districts. And because of the money through the rural recruitment, those districts are able to think about new housing, for example, the Teacher Village in Fairfield County. And so there are initiatives to try to support those students so they actually can live in the community and make a difference, because that's important to a lot of our graduates.
Well, I was going to bring up the name of Sue Rex. Everybody mm-hmm. knows her. She's been very involved with Winthrop University forever. And she was a spearhead force in getting this teacher village built down there in Fairfield County, which is up and operating. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get some more money to do some more. That's a big deal when you can put somebody in housing that doesn't cost you an arm and a leg like it does up here in this neck of the woods. So, do you all have a role in that? I mean, when the teacher village people come to you and say, hey, look, we want to do another phase of this. You got some federal money you might be able to help us out with? Yay, nay?
We don't have federal funding.
State funding, whatever. You got no funding. No.
I do think I've talked a lot with Sue about how we could partner with them. The distance is a little bit of a challenge for our students who are more traditional, but we recently did a residency program with Fairfield County, and so we took individuals from Fairfield County and helped them get certified. And they were supported during that process. So I think that's another phase of what we're looking at right now, is how there are individuals who live in those communities that want to stay in those communities and want to be educators. So how do we help those people get there? And that's what we're working on right now.
Okay. As I said, we just came from convocation. And it was really slick to be able to see that whole downstairs filled, standing room only. It was very, very nice to see that. And then I hear that Winthrop's done an extraordinary job in terms of getting students back in school. In fact, the numbers of new students this year on campus is 1,400 more than it was this time last year, which is a combination of a new freshman class and a bunch of transfers that have come in and out. I mean, that's pretty good.
And we are really excited in the College of Education, Sport, and Human Sciences because of that national teacher shortage. Even as the university grew last year, we didn't really experience that growth in our college. We didn't have the decline that we'd been having. But I'm really excited because our teacher ed programs are up over 10% this year. And so that is a combination of those transfer students who have started at a tech school or possibly during high school got enough credits to get an associate's degree, are going to be able to graduate with certification. And so it is, we all have to work on it together, because if you don't have good teachers, that impacts the universities, it impacts businesses, it impacts communities. So really thinking together and collectively, understanding the a role that a teacher has, and the role that if you're thinking about teaching, you could have in a school in the life of a student.
You know, the thing that the big banana that never seems to get resolved is what we pay teachers. All right? I have pontificated at this table almost thousands of times now. It amazes me that in South Carolina, where we have attracted the best of industry, Boeing, BMW, Volvo, the list goes on and on. And we know what they want are the brightest and the best coming out of our schools to plug into what they're doing, right? Now we know what they're paying at these industries, a lot more than what teachers make, okay? So why doesn't the state of South Carolina, because we compete with private industry, trying to get somebody to go in teaching versus to go work for Boeing, why is it the legislature doesn't get really serious about this? I mean, we pound our chest about $50,000. That's great. That's an improvement. But realistically, you can't live on $50,000 a year in this city of Rock Hill, South Carolina. Am I just a voice in the wilderness here?
No, you're not. There's a lot of us saying that on a pretty regular basis. I have to say, I really appreciate what's been done so far, because yes, there is movement in the right direction, but it's not far enough. And I think any teacher or any educator would tell you that. But you have to start somewhere. So I do want to recognize the fact that the salary scales have gone up, and a lot of districts in our area have been able to supplement those with tax base. That's where there's some disparity across the state in some of those rural areas. But there has been. They are also now providing an enhancement for the Life and Palmetto Scholarship. So if you wanted to be a scientist, for example, you got an extra amount of money in your sophomore, junior, and senior year if you were a Life or a Palmetto Scholar. If you're going to be into education, you now get that extra money. And so thinking about it's across time, right? We got to help teachers get the degree, right? So we need support at that point so they don't graduate from college with debt, which makes makes it a little bit more manageable to live at a lower rate. But then we also need to continue to increase those salary scales. The other thing that we're doing right now is we have the SC Rise program, which Lindsay and Sarah are also part of, and that's a residency program where we're exploring the impact if you put a group of prospective teachers in a school, what they can do, and we're paying them during their final year to do that work. And so we've got Winthrop involved, we've got USC Columbia involved, we have Clemson, and we have Columbia College involved. And so the point is to try to show from the improvements in those schools how hopefully the state would begin to pay students during their final year. And so there's a lot of momentum for what you're talking about. We just need more people saying it and preaching it.
Well, that's great. So the net result of this is, are we seeing more students wanting to get into education?
Yes.
And the answer is?
Definitely yes.
And still have a ways to go.
Yes. And I am excited because it's not just that 18-year-old who just graduated from a high school, right? It is also career changers. It's individuals who have some college but need to get an undergraduate degree, because that's the pathway into you have to have an undergraduate degree regardless of what you do. Might not be in education, but you have to have. We have really good alternative prep programs for people who have already finished an undergrad degree. So I can tell you the institutions of higher ed are trying to think about how do we serve multiple populations, because there are people who want to be teachers and we can help them find a way to become a teacher.
So we could take an old guy like this over here, right, who does nothing but be a pain in everybody's neck, and he could teach. He knows his real estate stuff, right? But because he doesn't have a PhD or whatever it is, he could qualify somehow through one of these programs to come in and work at Winthrop, let's say, teaching X, Y, and Z?
Well, we would put him in a K-12 school,
yeah,
and he just needs to tell me which one he wants to go to. So
pre-kindergarten, because nobody can understand him.
All right. But no, he would work through. It could be an alternative prep program, so he's teaching while he's learning, or it could be a graduate program if he
already
has.
That gets teachers in the system.
Correct.
People who have not the academic background, but have the real-life background.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. And they can be powerful tools to a student.
I bet they could be.
And there's legislation that just passed recently in May that allows a district to hire up to 10% of their staff without teaching certification. And they'll go through the programs that Beth just mentioned, like an alternative prep program. They'll get their master's degree.
So explain that to me. I mean, in other words,
if you have an undergraduate degree in math.
Biology.
That works. I always pick math. And you want to teach.
Yeah.
Then you could be hired in a school district that had a need. I mean, they're going to hire a certified teacher first, but if they have an opening and they don't have one, that you could be hired. And then while you're teaching, somebody like Winthrop and our NetApp program is coming along beside that individual and helping them learn the pedagogy and the processes that they need to be successful in the classroom. So that's certainly one pathway that individuals can take.
Interesting. So we've got, I mean, the world keeps changing. We were talking about that just before the show started. It just keeps changing and changing. And as you pointed out at Winthrop, with all these changes with curriculum, you're so focused on getting young men and women into a career position. But as you pointed out, I'll let you say it.
We're making sure that individuals can think and can communicate and can problem solve alongside preparing them for the career that they see is where they are going or the graduate school program that they're going into. Because I didn't imagine that I would be in the role I'm in 10 years ago. Some roles didn't even exist 10 years ago, and new roles are going to exist in 5 more years, right? So we don't know what a student is going to do when they leave Winthrop. What we do know is they can think, they can communicate, and they can problem solve. And if you can do those things and work in teams, you can make a huge difference. I think about President Cerna and how he and Provost Van Delden and how they talked about, we want you to be successful, and we can't imagine what your generation is going to do, right? Because the past generation helped create AI, but what is this new generation actually going to be able to do with artificial intelligence? Yeah. No idea.
As he pointed out, it wasn't too many years ago we didn't have an iPhone.
Right.
It wasn't too many years ago we didn't have the internet.
I know.
It wasn't too many years ago I can remember we didn't have a computer.
Well, or air conditioning, Manning. That
thank
one
you.
Made me shudder.
Some of us grew up without air conditioning, but that's another story.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to leave them alone. All right, we're going to have to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, is with us at Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, what we do here at Substation 2, you don't need a PhD for. What it is fresh subs and salads. And we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. If you can read and you can think, you know what we're about to do. At the count of three, everybody join in. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Well done. You all graduate. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Good fresh food, even fresher than Subway, and it's also on a paleo diet.
I like the people, I like the food, and being picked on.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
If your primary care physician has recommended surgery for a medical condition and non-invasive medical treatments are not an option, you may want to talk to your surgeon about new, less invasive surgical techniques. At Piedmont Medical Center, we use Da Vinci Robotic Surgery, a robot-assisted system controlled by a surgeon designed to allow for greater surgical precision during many general GYN and urology procedures that potentially offers you a quicker recovery. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Now, parts of Western York County can enjoy Comporium's advanced internet technology every day. Thanks to the partnership between Comporium and York Electric Cooperative, parts of Western York County now have access to Comporium fiber technology that gives you the ability to stream, download, search, and conference quickly and reliably. Not only is Comporium fiber fast, it's also affordable, starting at just $49.99 per month with no connection fee. For details, go online to Comporium.link/YEC to sign up for Comporium high-speed internet today.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Great talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. I'm surrounded by knowledge. I have Dr. Beth Koster and Dr. Lindsay Yerda, both from the hallowed halls of Winthrop University, where we have just come from the 140th convocation. And John Reinhart, you are in a real estate. You need to go stick your face in that Burns Auditorium and see what they have done. I mean, it's been closed for 7 years. Hard to believe. They've had classes that come through all this time and never saw the insides of Burns Auditorium. It's something to see. Congratulations, Winthrop. Now, we're talking about how do we attract teachers? How do we keep the teachers? Which is this program called CERA. C-E-R-R-A, which stands again, Dr. Yerta?
The Center for Educator Recruitment. So how do we get them in? Retention. How do we keep them there? And advancement. How do we help our educators who are already amazing advance in their careers?
So is it becoming more challenging to retain the teachers?
I think nationally it's an issue to retain teachers. The state is working on several different initiatives. There was a report just published last year called the START Report, and there are several great ideas floating around out there that I think a lot of people are going to be working on in the next few years. We are looking at how do we get teachers more money, but allow them to stay in the classrooms. A lot of times you'll see teachers taking on administrative roles because you get paid more to be a principal.
Yeah.
But we have some just master educators in the classroom, and so we're looking at ways that we can both recognize their talent verbally, but then also pay them well.
The national board certification that CERA works on and works with faculty or teachers. I talk to different populations all the time, and I can't say the right words. I was not a Winthrop grad, but
but you'd have to learn to pivot.
I know. So, getting national board certification, which is one of the areas that CERA works with under that A, it does provide additional funding for teachers in this state. And so I think that's a really powerful tool. And national board certified teachers stay in the classroom more than non-national board teachers.
You would think that some type of a bonus system. I mean, if you're in the classroom 5 years, 10 years, 15, you know, something along the lines, over and above salary, would be in place. But I know we're talking about government, and we're not talking about the private sector. But maybe government needs to work a little bit more like the private sector, huh?
And I think what Beth mentioned earlier about people, educators in particular, want to give back to their communities. They're
sure.
So deeply entrenched in the areas in which they work and live, that's That's a big draw.
But I think there are also calls for the community to get involved in the schools, right? And so many of our school districts in this area have foundations that help supply materials for teachers so that they are not having to use their hard-earned money to purchase supplies for their students. That's a great way that community groups can get back. They could adopt a school, find out from that school, what do you need? How can we support you? So I think there's lots of opportunities for both businesses, but also individuals to really think about how can we support a teacher? I mean, teachers like to go out to the movie, but they might have children. So could you keep their child one night so they could just go to the movie and relax? I mean, it could be anything. It could be small or it could be large.
So you mentioned this concept of middle college. What is that all about?
So a middle college concept is where a high school student is taking high school classes, but also taking classes for college credit. And the traditional model of a middle college is that that student will graduate with either the equivalent of an associate's degree of science or an associate's degree of arts, which sets them up really well to go into college when they leave. So, but Winthrop does it really neatly, and we're doing it with Rock Hill Schools. So
and York Technical College, right?
Correct. And so what is happening is we've already got the language immersion program that's been up and running with Rock Hill Schools for a while, where students come to Winthrop and take additional languages that they can't get in at the high school because they've been speaking Spanish since their kindergarten year, and they've been doing that all along. And so they come here and take classes. So they're on Winthrop's campus taking classes, interacting with the community. We're starting a program very similar in business this fall with Rock Hill Schools. And on the docket for fall of 26 is the same type of program in education.
So, Lindsay, if you could wave the magic wand and do one thing that really you think would be a home run for retaining the teachers and attracting the teachers, what do you think that would be?
Oh my gosh, that is a great question. I would want to get sort of a listening tour going on around the state and ask our educators, what is it that you need? What would help you stay in the classroom? Where could you use the most resources? Because they know. These are superheroes every single day in the classroom.
Adoration. You know, and superheroes is a good way to put it. Because teachers in the 21st century are not just teaching like they taught when I was in school. They have to deal with all the social ills that are going out there. You know, the erosion of the family unit in general has really impacted what happens in public schools. Teachers have got to deal with all this discipline stuff, and their hands are basically tied on how they can do it. Not like in my era, right? Spare the child, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child, all that kind of stuff. But it's a whole new dynamic.
Landscape, for sure.
It is a whole new landscape.
SC Teacher just published a report very recently on teacher retention, and they found that the number one indicator for keeping teachers in a school was administrative support. So we could funnel more support to help grow our administrators also.
Well, we got a whole bunch of new administrators here in Rock Hill right now. We got them all over the school districts. 3 out of 4 of them are new, and they all are singing the same song. We're there to support the teachers.
That is great.
And da-da-da-da-da-da. Ladies, you've done a great job. Half hour has blown by. We'll have to do this again sometime. Okay?
We'd love to.
Yeah. Dr. Beth Costner and Dr. Lindsay Yerta, with your humble correspondent. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, one more time. Wake up over there. Okay. We do fresh subs and salads, and we do them 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do them is in the white letters, and you do not need a PhD to do this. So at the count of three, everybody, bellow out together. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day, and go see Winthrop University this afternoon. The campus is open to the public. You might even get a free hamburger or a free hot dog.
Bye.